Welcome to another edition of Influence, the global podcast that shines a spotlight on the influencer marketing industry. My name is Gordon Glenister. And for those of you that don't know who I am, I'm a keynote speaker, trainer and consultant in the sector, and more recently published author on influencer marketing strategy. In this series, you'll hear me interview all sorts of people from the world of influencer marketing. But before we start, please don't forget to subscribe to this podcast series just to make sure that you don't miss a future episode. Now, super excited today because I'm going to be talking with the oh-so-stylish fashion and fitness content creator Rowan Rowe, who has over 1.4 million followers on Instagram and a further 1.5 million on YouTube. And he's worked with some amazing, top, exciting brands. And what he's going to do is tell us about his amazing story. So, Rowan, welcome to the Influence Global Podcast. Take us right back to when you really started out. When did you decide to enter this journey?
I believe the big transition for me was around 2015, when I jumped on an Instagram platform more seriously. Before that, I was on Facebook as well, which I was still pushing it quite serious. Since I started Instagram, everything became more serious. And at the time, it was the transition between my fitness and towards the fashion as well. So long story short, the way I started, I was posting a lot of fitness content. I was doing a lot of like fitness, competitions and stuff. I had my success there. And then at some point, I just wanted to kind of offer something else to the audience rather than just fitness. So I wanted to create that gentleman that looks good in a suit, but at the same time looks good on a beach in a shorts and is not too massive. So I just wanted to look pleasant. Let's put it like that. I've seen a few pages out there back in 2015, and I got quite inspired from these certain individuals. Aesthetic of the page. The pages, they wasn't necessary into fashion or fitness. They were just, a page could be like food, or one guy can be architecture or stuff like that. But I just like the look of the page, the cleanness of the images, the whole aesthetic of the page. I was really, really paying attention to each detail. I was teaching myself by watching all these guys, and I wanted to create a similar page, but obviously totally different subject. So that's why I brought some fashion to my fitness, and then I purchased a camera, and then I also purchased a tripod, and I was just going outside my house after my working hours or before my working hours to take pictures and creating as much content as I can to inspire guys how to dress and how to stay in shape and all this. That's where consistency beats talent, especially these days. There's so many content creators out there and there's so many talented ones, but if you don't keep the consistency, someone else will take your place in no time. Since I started like posting a lot of fashion images of my outfits, I was aiming to post at least one look a day. With 7 days a week, I wanted seven looks this week and post at least once a day. I was so into it that I had days when I was posting three times a day. I realized after a while, hold on a second, I'm doing too many posts, because back then it was a different algorithm. It was a different engagement and stuff. It's not like now, because now, obviously, as I say, so many people on a platform can get a little bit too busy. So back then there wasn't as many people. So I was like, okay, cool. Like these people really, really love my content and they keep looking forward to see the next one, the next one, the next one. So I was like proper into it. I was doing this just for a hobby. I didn't know you could make a career from it. I didn't know you could make a business from it. So I had a few messages from several brands asking me to wear their clothes or to use their products. And they wanted to pay me as well. And in my head, I was like, well, hold on. You want me to use your product? You want to pay me as well? For me, it was something like, ridiculous. I can't believe like someone wants to pay me to take pictures in their product. But then after a while, I realized, well, hold on, because this worked for me as well, and I don't realize this. And then when I met more people in the industry, they kind of explained me how it works. Then I realized, I was like, oh my god, my hobby actually goes towards a full-time business, because I got to a point to make more income from this than my previous job. That was the point I basically left my previous job and I jumped on a platform on a full-time. But then I think it was end of 2016, beginning of 16, I think, something like that. My Instagram got hacked. So I woke up the next morning. I was like, oh my God, I have no Instagram. And then these people hacked me. And then I did everything possible to get my account back. But unfortunately, I couldn't. So I just took a few days off thinking of myself, what I'm going to do, because I actually quit my job 2 weeks ago.
What were you doing before, actually, Rowan?
I was working as a dancer in theatres, which I loved. I had an incredible 6 years in UK, touring around different companies and stuff. But, you know, I kind of got to the point that, like, okay, cool, I have my own business now. It's not like I hate the job. I love that. But it's just different when you just do work for yourself or you create a team to work with you as well. So, yeah, I have no Instagram. I have no job. So what am I going to do now? I always say in life, you can either become a victim or you find a way out. And I said to myself, come on, man, I'm never a quitter, especially for coming from an athletic background from a young kid. I was like, no, I can't quit. No, I can't. I need to find a way. So what I did, I took a job as a personal trainer. And on the sides of my clients, when I had time, I started taking pictures again for my new Instagram page. Luckily, the new page I created, people from around the world, they still recognize me, and especially from the UK as well. And then I start getting the followers I had before quickly very back, my new platform. And then in no time, basically in the first 6 months, I had to leave the personal training job because I start making again an income. The followers wasn't at the same number. It was much lower. But in time, they kind of got bigger than I used to be before. So yeah, but for the audience that's listening now, the account before was on 200,000 followers. And then this one, I kind of reached the 200,000 in probably just up to a year. So we went quite high quickly. Instagram became more serious, you know, through the years. Back in 2015-16, wasn't as big as it is now. So the security level now is much more higher. So I learned some tricks as well, how not to be hacked and stuff like that. And which is all good. That's the story of the Instagram.
Because your background, of course, you're originally from Romania, aren't you? But you moved over.
Originally, yeah. Yeah, I was born in Romania and I moved to UK probably about 11, 12 years ago. I love UK. It's a great country. It's in terms of opportunities, possibilities, especially for youngsters to start here. Obviously, it's not going to be easy, but definitely if you work hard and if you're a passionate person and if you know what you want in life, there's no way you can't make it, you know, because this country's out there. It's really, really, really difficult with the whole government and everything. It don't offer much to the young community to push it. When I moved here, I literally fell in love with London because I've always been living in London. It's just like the beginning was really, really hard. But after I kind of get to know the culture and the language and get to meet a few people here and there, and then it just like flow.
So just going back to more specifically Instagram, you know, and you said that you've grown your Instagram sort of to 200,000. I mean, people will be listening to that and thinking, how? Some guys will be looking at, you know, even myself, I don't get a huge amount, but obviously I'm not as good looking as you, Rowan, so you know, that probably makes a difference. But trying to get that follower growth up quickly isn't easy. And I think there's a lot of people out there that think, oh, well, it's going to grow. And they then get disillusioned because it doesn't happen. And we said consistency is king, but then probably quality content and using the right hashtags and being seen on the Explore page is also very important.
I think quality content is very important as well, but also relevant content.
Relevant content, indeed.
So relevant content is so important because my aim in everything I start doing, I always wanted to inspire people with something. So when I transitioned from fitness to fashion, I was like, okay, cool. Fashion-wise, I'm probably not the most fashionable guy, but I try to keep it simple. But at the same time, something relevant that everyone can purchase and everyone can pull off. So at the beginning, I was posting all sorts of like trying to create simple outfits that everyone can put it off. Sometimes I post a simple outfit and get so much engagement. And sometimes I put an outfit that I think like, oh my God, it looks, I like the look of this whole look on me. But there are many people who won't like it because the way they think, they're like, oh yeah, it looks good, but I don't think I can put it off.
I saw something you put on, was it a blue suit from Top Man or something? You just looked amazing in it. And I was just thinking to myself, that looks really good. This is why I love influencer marketing, because actually it brings products to life in a way that you just can't get in a shop.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think this is a good selling point from this perspective. the world is going towards something more realistic and organic when you see it on an influencer's wearing it, rather than seeing just in a shop, okay, cool, I'm going to buy this suit, but then I'm going to buy this suit, but I want to see how it looks on my favorite influencer or something like that.
Of course, of course. And, you know, when you talk about YouTube, of course, or even Reels, it's bringing it to life as well. It's not just a static, it's walking with it. It's being out and about in Ibiza or of all places.
Exactly.
That could be me, you know, that could be me. And that's what I think is super.
The world is changing, yeah, so quick.
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the brands then. What brands have you worked with, and how does a typical brand collaboration work for you?
So we always try to work with more like luxury high-top brands, because the past few years we've been enjoying and we've been getting some really nice partnerships, and we try to keep a long-term ongoing partnership with these brands, not just one-off. And they've been really happy and we're very lucky to keep with them and stuff like that. So let's not talk about just fashion. For example, a lifestyle, like Sony has been one of our biggest clients. Also, we've been working with Aston Martin on ongoing projects, which is car-wise. Fashion-wise, every time I spoke about fashion, there's so many brands out there. I like keep forgetting the leading names, let's put it like that. So yeah, there's many, many, many brands we've been working with. It's been amazing. My audience is mainly male. So male love cars, like probably 85 to 90% of my audience is guys, which is good in my favor because I get a lot of business from these brands. All guys, they love watches and cars. So every time they release a model or they want to push a model, they just send you to test drive it. And then I always look for a really nice classic car or luxury car to pair my, for example, my outfits with. And you see an influencer drive around the car with a nice outfit, take a different perspective of pictures, videos of the car. You're just going to look, okay, cool, let's see what's wrong doing this weekend with the new DBX model from Aston Martin. So let's see what he's going to wear with that color. If the color is blue, what he's going to wear, what he's going to match, you know. So it's just all details. And then they've been loving my work with them. And then I've been loving as well the brand itself. It's such a classy brand. And it always works with my page for the outfits I wear and places I go, for example.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess because you deliver that and then you've almost niched yourself down to luxury brands, it then attracts other luxury brands, because the argument, of course, is that people that like Aston Martin's probably also like expensive watches, also like fine wine. And this is what I think is really important, to see how niche influence can really work in your favor, but also in the brand's favor. Rather than you being all things to everybody, it's more challenging for a brand to find out where your audience is. What's the geo split of your audience?
So my audience is basically around the world. Obviously the main countries, it's always going to be like UK, USA and Europe.
Yeah.
But then, for example, when I went to visit the Middle East, I realized that I have quite a bit of audience as well there. So I had to extend my trip because I got quite a few businesses there, which for me was great, because what I realized about Middle East, Dubai, talking about Dubai, there's not many guys that have proper, you know, they know how to dress or style. But obviously there's a lot of people with money there, but they follow the trends. They don't follow the style. So a lot of people buying all these, you know, high top brands, but they don't know how to mix and match them. And for me walking there, I realized, oh my God, there's so much business opportunity for me here, because this guy's, this is no style. It's not like you walk in Mayfair and you see guys in a suits on a Savile Row. Wow, that's great. You don't see that there.
I think there's a lot to be said for men needing style, don't you? If you look at Italians and Spanish guys, I think they, if I'm honest, a lot more stylish than a lot of Brit guys overall as a nation.
Overall as a nation, yeah, you are totally right.
You know, so I think that's great for people like you, because you can help inspire people with that look and, you know, creating the right ambiance. What do you think is going to change? I mean, in terms of future growth, obviously TikTok has been hugely successful, particularly in the pandemic. Now, are you on TikTok as well? And what's your...
I started at the same time. I started in a pandemic as well. And then I grew it to a certain extent. And then at the same time, my YouTube got big in a pandemic as well. So for being on, obviously, full on Instagram, and then I transitioned on full on YouTube, I was on two big platforms that it was constantly, you know, taking my time away. And I realized, okay, cool, I'd rather stick on Instagram and YouTube on full time the third platform would be quite a lot for me. I probably need a bigger team, to be honest with you. I like TikTok, but then it wasn't 100% for me. I could create something cool, but all I need is time and more people around me to help me
I think a lot of people don't realize that. I'm surprised that it's just you plus your assistant, because given the size of your audience, just thinking about content and the brand collaborations, the communication between the two, writing blogs and all of this stuff. I over the last 2 or 3 years, I've met many, many content creators, and sometimes they feel like they're on a hamster wheel, because they're creating this content for people and people want more of it and more of it and more of it. And you think, well, guys, I've got to have a bit of time out. I've got to, because it's sort of full on, isn't it? And maybe that's what you do need to do. You were saying you've got a camera there. What camera is it that you've got?
Right now I'm using, most of my equipment is from Sony.
Oh, of course, because you've got the collaboration, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm using like quite a lot of this stuff. Actually, the way I start working with Sony is I used to be a Canon lover before, and all my equipment was from Canon. I wasn't working with them. I just liked the DSLR that I had. Then when Sony released the mirrorless A7 cameras, I just liked that it was just super easy to use. It wasn't a massive camera, and you know, you get this, basically the same quality. So I was like, wow. And the colors are slightly bit different as well, which are popping out a bit more than on a Canon, from what I realized. But it's not much difference. We're talking like, let's say if you try to compare a Ferrari with a Lamborghini, they're both supercars, they're both nice, looking nice. It's just very similar, minor things that have than each other. I actually proposed them a partnership myself. I said that I love their cameras. I tried them quite a bit from my friends. And then I said, let's start to do something together, because most of my followers, every time I take pictures, they always ask me what lens I'm using, what camera I'm using. I said this could be very beneficial for them to sell their products, because once I'm going to start saying my followers, hey guys, I'm just transitioning from Canon to Sony, everyone will be like, what? What's happening? Where is it? How comes? So that would be a good selling point for them, because it was all organic. It wasn't like a push partnership. It was like, it's just basically, I would actually buy the camera myself.
Presumably you've got some other influencers and content creators that are following you.
We all help each other with comments. We engage with each other. I think it's very important in this creating world.
It is.
To have friends. So everywhere I travel in a different countries, you always like meet up. And even in London, with the ones that, you know, I'm friends, we always meet up at the events when we have events, or sometimes we catch up for a shoot to take pictures of each other. And yeah, definitely.
Yeah, no, I can see that. And I think sometimes, you know, if a brand is wanting to find other like-minded people like you, then, you know, you might be in a position to say, recommend others and say, look, there are other people that might be worth looking at. He's a great guy, she's a great girl, and that's a great help for the brand, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's what I'll say as well, because we always do this. Probably that brand is not for me, but it would actually, someone else will be perfect for their page. Yes. So I always do the things. I think it's quite good, like you said, for the brand and also for us as influencers as well, because that job might not be for me, but it's for my mate or someone else.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So sort of lasting tips as well. Perhaps if you can just share some of your thoughts on what somebody that's on their way up now, what would you say? What would you give to your younger self?
Before I want to say to the guys that are on their way up, I want to say something to the guys that they haven't even started yet and they're thinking to jump on a platform, but they're too scared because it's too late. And my words for that, I think, and from my own experience with YouTube, for example, it's never too late for anything. Because when I started YouTube in a pandemic, I probably had like about 20,000 subscribers on YouTube, and which pandemic hit, long story short, I literally grew the YouTube from 20 to like a million in less than a year. So what happened? I was just creating a lot of content in a pandemic, relevant content that people can train at home because the gyms were closed. And I tried to create something for everyone that everyone can do, not like crazy extreme level. So just workouts at home, and then that's why my YouTube exploded. So I always want to say to people, if you have any idea at all, and you want to jump on a platform to share your idea with the world, just do it. Don't listen to your Karen or John or whatever is going to tell you, oh, I think you're wasting your time here. No, just try. There's nothing to lose, because you never know where that idea can take you. If you have an idea or a vision, just go for it. Well, probably it won't be like a successful idea, but at least you try it.
And I was going to say, some of the best content creators, if you ask them what their first video was like in comparison to what their videos are like now, there's like a country mile of difference, isn't there?
Absolutely. But many times it's probably in the beginning, you don't have the quality, but you still post something relevant that, you know, I've seen most of the viral video on YouTube, they've been taken with the iPhone with the very bad lighting and stuff like that. And in my opinion, I was like, I do understand why the video went viral, because the person who's, you know, doing this talking, or it's actually relevant content that we learn something from it. So that's why it went viral. And obviously that person in time, it becomes a master. The more you do it, the better you are.
This podcast is supported by the Branded Content Marketing Association, promoting the value of influencer marketing globally.
That's it for another edition of Influence. Don't forget to subscribe to the show and give me your feedback, gordon@gordonglenister.com, or you can follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, where you can also ask me a question. If you're able to give us a 5-star review, we really do appreciate it. And for those of you that want help in creating an influencer marketing strategy, or want to join the Influencer Marketing Roundtable weekly event, do head over to my website, which is gordonglenister.com. Thanks as always to my producer, Neil Whiteside from Freedom One. And until next time, from me, Gordon Glenister, it's bye for now.